on is hanging in touch with me on Twitter at Willie P Style, coming to you from inside the Mobile Kia Studios. And when I say Mobile Kia Studios, I mean not the studios in the high building in Colony Square. We're coming from the houses. I know a lot of people have showed their cribs over the course of the last couple of days. I don't have much to show. To give you an idea of the setup that I'm on right now, I'm connected via an app on my phone. That phone is plugged into a surge protector, which is connected to my dresser. And then coming from that phone, I have a stick mic that is basically anchored by a low table and a bunch of things to help boost it up. And then I have a little mini windscreen that is supplemented by a bunch of Atlanta United soccer scarves. So this is far from the cosmetic looking setup that that you know Andy and Randy and Dukes and Bell and those guys have put up there in their more palatial estates. I know that the man who usually sits in this program talks about team have versus team have not. Well. Team have not is how I would qualify, and also I have a little kind of makeshift desk here where I have my laptop, so I can reference things involving notes and other websites too. And it's all basically pinned in an area in a corner next to my dresser and my bed. So I literally have to climb on my bed in order to escape. Like that's how, if I want to go to the bathroom or get a drink of water or something like that. That's how trapped in there. But again. Not complaining. Fantastic setup, fantastic lifestyle. The one thing, though, I will complain about, and this has nothing to do with being on the air, but if you are an apartment dweller and an apartment liver, you've probably gotten a lot more acquainted with your neighbors over the course of the last couple of days. Let's just say the apartment above me is on the top level of a mid-rise building in Midtown, and when you go down and see it, the guy up top is basically the size of his apartment is double the size of mine. Like two of the apartments that are on this level equal one of the guy up top. And I have heard him make every or heard them make every darn move over the last couple of days, including when I was hosting the show last night until 2 a.m. They were still up and at it. With kids running, I believe is what that was, and other noises. I almost want to be like, bro, lights out hours, man. I know you're struggling, but I mean, come on. Also, I feel for my next door neighbors because I'm wondering how well these walls are soundproof. I have my back to where my neighbor would be when it comes to the bedroom, but let's just say they haven't come to me and said I've been too loud yet, so. That at least is one thing that is encouraging for me, and I hope that you are doing the best that you can to make your way through what is a challenging and navigating time. Again, I said this before, and I'll continue to repeat it throughout the evening. If you have the ability to safely partake in local businesses when it comes to takeout and delivery, we've got more than 130 businesses on our website right now at Love Local Atlanta. That is 929thegame.com/Love Local Atlanta. It is our Entercom Atlanta Radio.com initiative that we are trying to make sure that folks who are in our community who need it the most when it comes to our retail and food service industries get still some business during this challenging time as we all try to figure out how to creatively work our way through the murky waters that is the coronavirus pandemic. One of the ways that I've been occupying my time, including being completely weirded out by the Tiger King. What is that, by the way? That whole scenario is just so incredibly weird. But when I'm not being completely weirded out by the Tiger King, I have been on the draftnetwork.com working through a bunch of mock drafts. Before you say, Will, you're a darn nerd, really, I'm not the only one at the radio station who's working through things like this. Mike Bell has been on this, and a couple of my coworkers. I turned one of our other producers, Jahi Whitehead, onto this, and I go in to it basically with the understanding that the Falcons still have some needs on the defensive line, whether you can get an interior defensive tackle to pair with Grady, and maybe another edge rusher, somebody you can develop if, say, Tack McKinley goes by the wayside and is not here beyond this upcoming year. I know you already have Alan Bailey locked down, and obviously the signing of Dante Fowler provides you what you think you might have gotten or what you think you could get out of Vic Beasley, or more than what you could get out of Vic Beasley last year and in recent years. And you also have very, very big needs at the cornerback and linebacker positions. Those are the two that I think, if you are looking at a position of need that you would reach for just so you get that guy inside your building, I think you have to go on and get it. Now, the problem is where they sit at 16, they're basically begging you to do one of two things. Actually, one of three things. They're begging you to take Javon Kinlaw if he's there, the sensational D-tackle out of South Carolina, who I know Jarvis Davis and I both have chronicled how much that would be a slam dunk pick if it ended up falling to the Falcons at 16. But if it's not Kinlaw, then you take the best edge player on the board at that time, which many seem to believe is Clavion Chaisson, because the way that the mocks go, if I'm in a situation where Chaisson's available and he's not selected, he's going to the Cowboys at 17. And there's a significant sentiment from a lot of people that if Chaisson is still on the board at 15, the Cowboys might actually leapfrog the Falcons to try and take him at 15 because they have a similar need at edge rusher as well. And we'll talk a little bit about this coming up in about 10 minutes time when Howard Balzer, NFL reporter, longtime man inside the league who has his pulse on the way things are going when it comes to certain things across the league, I'll ask him to kind of take his temperature on where things might be from their perspective. But that seems to be the logical thinking. And there have been some mocks where you don't have Chaisson, you don't have Javon Kinlaw, you don't even have C.J. Anderson. And that's a guy, too, that, you know, it really is a shame because it looked like for a while that'd be a value pick for the Atlanta Falcons. But it seems now that he's not even going to be there by the time the Falcons pick at 16. He's going now for a lot of teams, possibly in the early teens, and even sometimes in some of these simulations that I've run through, he's going in the top 10, the defensive back out of the University of Florida. So because of that, you know, the NFL Combine really helped him. And also something that when I was talking with Eric Edholm, who analyzes the draft for Yahoo Sports, when I was speaking with him on Saturday, the way that the coronavirus has shut down things like pro days and camps and certain evaluation situations for some of these mid-major and lower-level players is that you're not going to see a lot of the lesser talent more easily able to be evaluated over the course of the next couple of days and weeks because the only real data point you can go off of right now with these guys is game film, especially guys who didn't go to the combine or had their pro days canceled. You might see a couple of these guys fall through the cracks because of the fact that you just do not have the ability to go out and talk to them or have pro days or even have them in your building. And because of that, you might end up having somebody in the third or fourth round that you might not have originally thought might be there. No, he might not be a household name for you and me, people who watch college football either on a casual level or even on a more daily basis. He might not be a household name, but he could end up being a diamond in the rough or somebody who is a late bloomer or somebody who just you wouldn't have initially forecast to be a slam dunk prospect that ends up outperforming his draft status and his draft position. Because there are a lot of guys who are feeling the brunt of this coronavirus shutdown. Because of that, you might have them possibly able to contribute on a much larger level than you might have realized. One of those guys who I think might be available to the Falcons in the fourth round is a guy like a Shaq Quarterman of Miami or somebody who, like even a Darius Anderson running back at a TCU, if the Falcons wanted to possibly take a flyer on a running back in, you know, the seventh round or possibly trade up in the sixth round, if they just feel like they have to get a running back, because there are a lot of people who look at that and say, you know what, even getting Todd Gurley does not fully fulfill that need, because if say the Gurley experiment doesn't work out, you do not want to be putting all your eggs in the basket of the 21 draft to try and figure out who is your running back of the future. I don't know if you're looking at what you have behind Gurley in Brian Hill, Ito Smith, and Kadri Allison as the end-all, be-all actual solution to that problem. And because of that, there are a lot of people who look at that and say that's not exactly a real setup for the future when it comes to those guys. But it'll be interesting as we look across this next period of time, because I wonder how aggressive Rich McKay is going to allow Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn to be. They've already been probably more aggressive during free agency than we initially thought they would be. They have borrowed against the bank, if you will. I don't want to go so far as to say they robbed Peter to pay Paul, but they have done a lot more in terms of the restructuring and the tough cut scenario to try and make sure that the team that they're putting on the field in 2020 is not only a quality one, but also a defensible one. The real key, and this is kind of the real secret to the way that things work in the National Football League, is that regardless of where you might sit, the defensible decisions don't get you fired unless you make more defensible decisions, and they just don't work. I think if right now you're sitting here and you're Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn, you need to make enough moves that look defensible that allow you to walk into Arthur Blank's room and say, you know, even though we were 8-8 or 9-7 this year, we still made moves to improve our football team, and you could defend those moves, and they're moves that have some sort of logic behind them. Like, if you make crazy moves and they don't work, that's a lot harder to defend. But if you make easy-to-defend moves and they don't work, that might be able to save you. Although, again, the conventional wisdom for a lot of people think that if there's no playoffs in 2020 for the Falcons, it might be the end of the road for the GM and the head coach. 404-741-0929 is hanging in touch with me, Willie P. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Wednesday evening. We'll continue to talk NFL next with Howard Balzer, longtime NFL radio reporter. Joins us next on the WaitFor.com hotline. Willie P. in for John Chuckery inside the Mobile Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and always streaming via the radio.com app on all your smart speakers and smartphones. Willie P. is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, in for John Chuckery tonight. You can always catch us via the radio.com app on your smart speakers and smartphones as we broadcast to you from inside the Mobile Kia Studios. It's now time to head to the WadeFord.com hotline. Longtime friend of mine who covers the NFL about as closely as anybody, Howard Balzer, who of course does so for 590 The Fan and for SiriusXM NFL Radio, joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. HB, I hope everything's going well with you guys and hope you're riding through the storm, if you will.
Yeah, trying to ride through it like everyone else. And you know, every place is different. Missouri, so far at least, and St. Louis has not been as hard hit as a lot of other places. But, of course, everybody always warns it's still coming. So you just don't know. I think that's one of the awful things about this. It's awful anyway, but just the unknown just has everyone kind of besides themselves and trying to figure out what it's going to be, what's going to happen next, how long, and all that. So it's a very obviously an unusual time.
What was the one move over the course of the first week of free agency, first full week and a half, really, that surprised you the most?
Wow, that's there's been so many. I mean, so many moves that they almost start all, you know, running together. And you say, my goodness gracious. But, you know, some of the contracts, and trying to think of, you know, some of these where you see some of these linebackers or defensive linemen that have just been okay players where they have been and getting 3-year, $30 million deals. And of course, you always have to look at those and say, well, how much is truly guaranteed? How much are these teams, you know, committing to these guys? But, you know, those, you know, there's just, you know, I'm trying to think here. I guess I should have been prepared to say, okay, what's, because I know there was a couple last week that I just shook my head at and said, my goodness, but now it's a week later, and you're just trying to keep your head above water, trying to keep track of this, because I was counting it up this morning, and there's been well over close to 250 unrestricted free agents. And there was over 460 to begin this a week ago. There's been almost 250 that have either re-signed with their team or changed teams. And that's only the unrestricted free agents. It's not counting guys who are traded, not counting guys who have been released by teams and then signed. I mean, this has been, even amidst all the uncertainty, one of the more, a bigger quantity of players that I've seen sign and switch teams and all that this quickly. And then you have to take that into account with a lot of them aren't going to be able to get to their teams for off-season workouts. And I'm really beginning to wonder, Will, what is this season going to look like when you have all these new players, new quarterbacks, new this, new that, and they're probably just going to be, begin to introduce themselves to each other in July, late July, if in fact training camp even starts on time. So this will be, I think, one of the more, maybe as strange as the lockout year. When nobody did anything throughout the offseason, and all of a sudden, 9 years ago, players started being signed when training camps opened, and, man, you needed – heck, the players needed to wear name tags just for the coaches to know who they even were.
It was the uncapped year, too, that was rather peculiar as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's – that was the year before that. And,
then,
of course, we had the lockout, which – and that was uncertainty, obviously, for a different reason – in terms of when will this end, what will happen. And let's remember, as I mentioned, that year you had a draft, but they didn't allow any free agent signings. Players weren't allowed to sign with anybody throughout the entire offseason. And then, boy, was there a flurry when it all ended.
Talking with Howard Balzer, NFL reporter here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'll ask a different question, a little bit more finite this way. How surprised are you that both Jameis Winston and Cam Newton, neither of them have jobs currently?
I'm really not that surprised, quite honestly, because heading into this, you could see that it was going to be very volatile and a lot of quarterbacks moving around. You just knew pretty much that was going to happen. And, so far there's been, three potential starters that have been signed as free agents. And, of course, that headlined by Tom Brady. You've had about 9 or 10 guys re-sign with their teams who are basically backups. But you kind of felt, and I said this on a few times, Will, that when the music stops in this game of musical chairs, there could be some quarterbacks left without a chair, at least guys who are starters that want to still be starters. And so Winston, once the Buccaneers – put their sights on Tom Brady. It doesn't mean they wouldn't have got him. What'll be interesting is what would have the Buccaneers done had they not been able to get Tom Brady. Obviously, we'll never know the answer to that question, but I do know that Bruce Arians, head coach there in Tampa Bay, just soured on Winston in the last two games of the regular season when the Bucs entered those two home games, 7-7, had a chance to finish 9-7 with a strong finish. You go into the next year feeling pretty good, and Winston had 6 interceptions in those two games. And I think Arians looked at it then pretty much saying, I don't have that many years coaching left. I don't know if I want to put up with this and with a guy that I don't know if I can rein in and get him to stop that. So that's one aspect. The Cam Newton situation, you kind of figured that he would probably be back in Carolina, but once Ron Rivera was let go, you knew that all bets were probably off. Questions about his health, and so who knows where he'll land next. A lot of speculation has him going to the Chargers. But the problem there, once again, when you can't have your own doctors look at a guy and give a physical, then you say, well, what should we do here? We don't want to necessarily say we're going to commit to Cam Newton and then maybe have this entire situation linger past the draft when you might be in the market to draft a guy high, then not do that, and then all of a sudden you don't like what you see in Newton's physical. So it's really complicated, this whole situation, a lot of decisions the teams are making.
Talking with Howard Balzer, NFL reporter here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, inside the Mobile Kia Studios. via the radio.com app and also on the waitforit.com hotline. You know, from 30,000 feet, Howard, the Falcons' moves might not necessarily be ones that move the meter for a lot of people nationally, but here locally, I think they've done a lot more than many even more optimistic Falcon fans might have thought that they would have done going into this because of their cap constraints. How impressed are you with the way that Thomas Dimitroff, Dan Quinn, Rich McKay have massaged the cap and actually made some improvements?
Yeah, I think they've done some, you know, decent in some areas. And, of course, they're, you know, rolling the dice on some players, obviously rolling the dice on Todd Gurley. Certainly Laquon Treadwell, if he ever gets it, could be a guy that helps the passing game. But, yeah, he hasn't done that yet. Not a lot risk there, but you just do wonder what he's going to be able to supply. You know, Dante Fowler, pretty good pass rusher, not very consistent. And so you just wonder if he's going to be that every down player that you really need. So I think there have been some pretty good moves there, but then I look at it and say, well, have they been offset somewhat? And I know a lot of people just like the addition of Hayden Hurst, and I think that was a good acquisition. But, you know, Austin Hooper left. I thought Devondre Campbell was kind of an underrated linebacker, and he left. So, yeah, I do think, like you said, they made some, you know, some pretty good moves. But overall, how much it really improves them, I don't know. I think that remains to be seen, and it still could come down, obviously, to the draft to really supplement what they've done so far in this offseason.
How do you see the Tom Brady experiment working in Tampa Bay?
I have my questions because I don't know. You know, everybody's spending time now, Bruce Arians, well, he's got the arm. You know, everyone says, oh, he doesn't have the arm to get it to Mike Evans or Chris Godwin or some of these guys. And I don't doubt that he has the arm. I just wonder if they can protect him good enough to be able to get the ball to those guys. Because Tom Brady's used to going back three-step drops, maybe five very rarely, and just get rid of the ball. This is a much different offense. And the one thing that, if you go back and look, when Bruce Arians was in Arizona, Carson Palmer was hit an awful lot, and he was injured, you know, quite a few times, and a couple times those injuries really, you know, really hurt their seasons. And so that's what they have to make sure it doesn't happen, that Tom Brady doesn't get hit. And it'll be interesting to see how they solve that. Will they? You have to believe Bruce Arians understands that. You have to believe that he's going to adjust somewhat and do a lot of the things that you know that Brady is good at, getting the ball to the backs, getting it out quick, and all those things. But then if you do that, you start saying, well, is that going to take advantage of the great ability that Evans and Godwin have? So I think it's up in the air. I mean, everybody's betting on them now. All of a sudden, the odds are, oh, there's a Super Bowl-caliber team and all that. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not saying they can't be a pretty darn good team, but I don't think it's automatic either, and even though a lot of people do. And that's how people react these days. I'm sure everyone there, when you talk about the Falcons, reacted when the Falcons signed Todd Gurley because he's a name, and he's had great years a couple years ago. Well, he's not the same player that he was then, and so – That could be the case with Brady in this particular offense. So I'm going to be very curious to see how this all works out.
Before we part company, Howard, what is the latest that you're hearing in terms of how the league is operating when it comes to not only the draft? I know there was some dissension inside the GM room between them and the owners as far as having the draft on time, and also what's being said from the league's perspective in your channels about where the season sits right now at this point.
It's really the word that everybody uses is fluid, because like I said earlier, no one really knows the time frame on this. And I think the NFL is taking it day by day and just figuring out on a day-by-day basis what's the best way to go forward. Quite frankly, I don't understand what the GMs were so concerned about. And I understand they're going to have to do the draft different. You know, because let's remember, this closure now is through April 8th. And who knows? Maybe it could be lifted on April 8th. If some of the numbers start to at least trend the other way, you know, maybe some of these states, you know, don't do the whole don't go out deal. And so, but the NFL also couldn't have a situation where some teams weren't allowed to work in their office and some are. So they wanted an even playing field among all the teams. But if you delay the draft, when are you going to delay it to? You don't know. You could pick any date in the world that you want, but it doesn't mean anything will have changed by then. And so I think it in that respect, it made sense to keep it where it is, just get it done, get it over with, be able at least to – they're going to have to come up with some plan if this does go longer than April 8th to get playbooks and figure out virtually, technologically, whatever, to be able to at least do some work with players to get them playbooks and at least have some computer work where players can start to get familiar with systems, especially new players and all those things, and the rookies. If you delay it for the rookies, if you don't draft, well, then you delay getting them a lot of the information that they need to try to make – and it's never an easy process. It's never an easy transition from college to the NFL. But the more you delay that, the tougher it is for those rookies. And so why not just get it done and over with and be able to start working on those things if, in fact, this thing is still going on at the end of April? So I don't understand what the big fuss was, because if one of those GMs could have said, hey, we think it should be delayed and here's the date when, well, that's one thing. But I don't know that any of them could do that with any amount of certainty or even close to certainty.
Howard, always appreciate the time, bud. I got to run. Thank you so much for it.
All right, well, take care, man. Always enjoy coming on with you.
That is Howard Balzer, longtime NFL reporter, joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Willie P. in for John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, coming to you from the Mobile Kia Studios. Well, now I'll let you know what some others are saying, including what the disconnect seems to be involving Cam Newton and potential plans for Major League Baseball come June, possibly? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game continues via the Radio.com app on all smart speakers and smartphones. Willie P is in a building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Someone just posted this this funny moment. So we were talking earlier about Javon Kinlaw, the South Carolina defensive tackle. For those of you who may or may have history, Willie P, of course, here in with you for John Chuckery, is that I covered the Clemson and South Carolina football programs up until about middle of last fall, October, November of last year, and during an availability for South Carolina's media, Javon Kinlaw comes in, and you have to understand, Kinlaw is a guy who is about 6'6". I stand about 6'3". There aren't that many people that I look up to except, a lot of the basketball players, so he's one of the few guys on the football field that I look up to, so he's a very imposing guy, of course, and he's also 302 pounds. I think it was 302 at the time. So, and he is a cut 302. Like, he is trim, like very well built. And so what he did when he walked up to me at this availability is he walked straight up to me and took one of the TV camera guys' microphones and starts interviewing me just right away. And someone caught a picture of it, and the expression of my face, I just retweeted it at Willie P. Style 3. The expression of my face is, I am trying to play along, but I'm also like deathly uncomfortable for no other reason other than this is very awkward. What is he going to do? What is he saying? It was a funny little capture. And the real best part of the whole photo is that there is, how do I put this very nicely? There's like a diminutive reporter who almost looks like a leprechaun who's in the background. His guy, of course, who covers South Carolina for, I think, 24/7 Sports. And you could see him in the background looking up. He looks so much smaller than the both of us. And again, it just looks like a little leprechaun there in the background. It's a funny little deal there. And that was a fun little memory that was just posted on Twitter with the hashtag Never Forget. As we sit here at 8:44 on a Wednesday evening, we heard from a lot of people over the course of our evening. You've heard a lot from me in terms of my thoughts on the Falcons' moves and where we sit right now in terms of the coronavirus as far as the world kind of being at a standstill. It's now time to hear from what others are saying. So I've talked a lot about the Cam Newton scenario and why he's not employed right now, with the thing about him I find more confounding than Winston, because Winston, you kind of know what you're getting, and I almost feel like the more harm he's done has given some teams some pause. The only thing that's given Cam Newton any pause or teams pause on Cam Newton has to do with his injury history, and that was something that was detailed by the owner of the Panthers, Dave Tepper, back in February.
Said again and again and again about it's a question of how healthy he is, foot and otherwise, and that's still the number one overwhelming thing to see how healthy he is and how we can figure out when he's healthy or not. And, you know, everything comes from that.
And because of that, people looked at the particular news of Cam Newton taking a physical here in Atlanta as saying, you know what? This is actually something that could be a positive for him, though there are financial reasons why the Panthers would have wanted him to pass a physical, because there was obviously some situations where, you know, some other offset money might have gone his way. They might have had to be in an injury settlement and also some cap constraints that would have maybe played into it if, say, they released Cam Newton with an injury designation. So, and also, just because of the way that this whole thing was handled from the get-go by the Panthers, the fact that they were very wishy-washy on his future, that certainly comes into the equation as well, because I think this might be an overcorrection from the Panther organization trying to do right by Cam and say, hey, he passed the physical. He really did. He really did, guys. When in reality, teams are still going to want to get their doctors on him, and that's ultimately the reason why people have not looked at him more closely. At least that's according to Fox Sports' Jay Glazer, who spoke earlier this week.
He's gone to independent doctors, and doctors have cleared him. But when you're talking about a franchise quarterback, you want to make sure your medical team pokes and prods, and because everybody has an opinion. You know, this will certainly affect it. If I'm a team like the Chargers, well, I got to put some butts in the stands there. He's a star.
And, you know, that whole thing is just, like I said before, I don't understand what there is to gain from the Panthers by fudging a physical for Cam other than them being nice and feeling like they had to have been nice, because if they didn't do right by Cam in the beginning, they're trying to do so on the back end. The whole telegraphing of his departure, that's why he wasn't traded. That's why they couldn't find a trade partner. The fact that they said Cam is going to seek out his own trade, and then half an hour later, they go and they sign Teddy Bridgewater. That's the whole reasoning behind why they did that. So because of that, I look at this and I say, you know what? Maybe you don't telegraph his departure. And I'll hear a little bit more later on in the program from Nick Wilson about why that whole situation was messed up from the word go. Travis Schlenk, as he usually does, joined the morning show with John and Hugh and talked yesterday about the potential shifting of the schedule inside the NBA.
The longer this lasts, the possibility of being able to finish the seasons and have a playoffs is, you know, less and less likely. But I think that there is a desire to be able to have certainly a playoffs, and if they could have some sort of abbreviated season, they'd like to do that. But, you know, there's so much up in the air.
And that's kind of something that we were talking about beforehand. You know, how do you go about the resumption of play? Do you allow for time for the players to get themselves back in gyms? You know, how long does that period last? I would think that you would need to have guys in gyms for at least 2 to 3 weeks in order to get themselves back up to playing shape and playing fitness, especially if you're thinking about the fact that you wanted to go right into the playoffs right away. The last thing that you want is their first games coming back to be playoffs, if you can help it. So that's part of the reason why I think there will still be a playoffs and a regular season combined. I think that, if anything, some of these lesser teams that records that are outside of the playoff hunt, kind of teams like the Hawks, will be, I don't want to say sacrificial lambs, but they'll be kind of thrown to the wolves, if you will, when it comes to these teams that are playoff bound or not. And those will be kind of tune-up games for these playoff teams in order to get themselves really back to game speed by the time we get to whenever the playoffs do begin and whenever resumption of play does begin in the NBA. Speaking of potential resumption of play, Major League Baseball has looked at possibly early June as a potential site point. Usually we were talking about maybe mid-May. That was the thinking a couple of weeks ago, or at least a week ago. But now Jeff Passan of ESPN says early June might be the target date instead.
Baseball is looking at a lot of dates right now, but the target at the moment is in early June. The idea is that players would go back around mid-May for a second kind of spring training. That would be an abbreviated one, you know, two and a half weeks. And that because pitchers wouldn't be ramped up, they would expand the rosters and go back and play games. We don't know if it would be in front of empty stadiums. We don't know if fans would be there. They would love, though, to start the season in early June while recognizing that July ultimately may be the likelier and better time to begin the season.
Man, if we're looking at July as a start date, I mean, that's gonna have a lot of people somewhat ticked off. But again, these are things that are being done for the safety of all involved. So I can't sit here and knock it. But at the same time, I'm looking at it and I'm just like, man, July? Like, we were supposed to have games as early as tomorrow. Like, opening day was tomorrow. I know some teams are going out and rolling out some virtual reality type scenarios where they'll be playing games via like an MLB The Show simulation, just in the place of actual real games. But oh, July, that stinks. And I told you earlier about the reports out of New York that they might have to play some games as the home team in opposing ballparks. That could be the case, according to Jeff Passan, when it comes to the World Series possibly being played in neutral sites in warmer weather climates.
Baseball wants to get as many games in as possible. And if you're starting in June, that means potentially pushing the regular season back into, say, mid-October. If you have the regular season ending in mid-October and potentially expanded playoffs beyond that, that's still being discussed, that's still being worked out. But whether you have expanded playoffs or regular playoffs, they're going to be going into November. When they're in November, they're going to need to be somewhere warm. We may be looking at a neutral site World Series in either a dome city or a warm weather city.
And the last thing you want to see is, you know, like we see a lot of times in April in the cold weather cities, players having to wear those hoods. You don't want to be seeing that during, you know, a December World Series. There was some momentum. I forget the name of the player, but they were suggesting this on social media earlier today about possibly playing games with a World Series around Christmas time, trying to own Christmas kind of like the NBA does with its early season games. And people always kind of look at the Christmas holiday as the unofficial start of the NBA regular season. How crazy would it be if that coincided with the end of Major League Baseball season? The one thing that is evident is that we are going to see a run on events at some point where we have a lot of condensed things happening all at once, especially if you get the resumption of the NBA season combined with the starting of Major League Baseball, MLS, and oh, by the way, NFL training camps and a college football training camp, possibly all running concurrent into one. So if you think it's unpleasant right now, and I know a lot of you do, I'm with you there. We could see an operation overload scenario where you get a lot of things and you almost don't know what to do with yourself on a given night because of all the things that are happening on a daily basis. That is what things others are saying here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and via the radio.com app. Willie P is in the building, in for John Chuckery tonight. We'll get you an NFL ground and pound coming your way next, including could this season's Ryan Tannehill be the guy he supplanted last year? And also a rule that could be a good sign for uniforms in the future is part of the National Football League. Willie P in for John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and always coming to you not only from the Mobile Kia Studios, but always on the radio.com app by your smart speakers and smartphones. Thank you, sir. So we'll do that.